As a, whoa, am I louder than usual? Yeah, there. All right, there we go. You know what? I liked it. Let's, louder even would be great. Now, we have, as a new preacher in a new place, you know, we've been here, I don't know how many months, a year and a half, and you don't want to reveal yourself too much out of the gate, because then people form pre-existing conditions. That too. They have thoughts about you that you just can't squirm out of later. But I'm going to give you an opinion I have that's strong that you may disagree with, or you may strongly disagree with, and this may divide us in a partisan way. I cannot stand the moving video menus in restaurants. I struggled with it before when it was just words, and now it's moving, and I get so confused about what the food they actually are serving is, and what the price is, and when breakfast quits, and you look here and you go, oh, that looks good, but what's this? And then, oh, there's a dancing cheeseburger here. And I don't, where was it and where am I? And I get a little confused. I just want to say, whatever, you just say, give me the usual. And they're like, sir, we don't know you. God, well, then I'm lost. I want it to be simplified. Actually, one of my rules is, if you have too much food to offer, you're probably not a good restaurant. Like, at Camo's, dropping a, you just get a burger, really. I mean, that's it. They're just cranking out burgers. If you like a taco stand, I want it. You know, like, I want simplicity. I want to know, like, when I show up at a place, I'm going to be getting a thing. I don't want the Cheesecake Factory with its, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien menu. I want simplicity. And sometimes I think people walk into our churches and they are a little overwhelmed by our moving menus of morality. They're a little overwhelmed by all of the things we're calling people to do. Well, you've got to do this right. And we'll say, and we mentioned it last week, you'll say, we want to live a Christian life. And it seems simple, but then you go into a certain context and they're like, well, we meet on Tuesday mornings if you're over 65. You've got to come to that too. And we have Wednesday night services, and we have Sunday morning. We've got Bible class, Sunday morning worship. We have Sunday evening worship, where that's just like JV worship is what we call it. It's just like what we did Sunday, but a little worse. And so there's this big list of things that we're teaching people to do, and even beyond that, in just the basics, we have these little minutiae that, like, there's no sense in teaching people this. We went to Africa in the 70s and took khaki pants with us. Khaki pants and a Bible, because khaki pants are what Christians wear. Like, it is insane the amount of stuff. You can't even bring a Greek Bible into some churches because they don't, you know, KJV is what Peter and Paul use. Like, we add rule upon rule upon rule to the teachings of Jesus. And a lot of times in those rules are none of the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, and let's go ahead and put it on the screen. Let's do the whole, that's perfect, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." So this sentence, and occasionally I'm going to say something like this. This is the last time I'm going to explain it, but I'm going to say this sentence and talk and just make an overwhelming, but if you are an overarching statement about the sentence itself, if you are a language nerd, if you are into dissecting sentences and you wanted to hear 4 or 5 minutes about why this sentence is the way it is, you come talk to me afterward, but the rest of the people around you didn't want to hear it. That's just my rule. I have it. It's in my back pocket. If you want to talk about it, we can. But this sentence, the way it's structured, it's giving you one command. Go make disciples. And then it's telling you how to make disciples. What that looks like. He's not saying, go make disciples, do that. Also, baptize. Also, teach. He's saying, go make disciples of all nations. Here's how. Immersing them into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I think the order is interesting here, and I think we might have gotten it a little out of whack. Because when we are baptized, we are saved by the grace of God. There is nothing you do in your baptism that is even close to extraordinary. There is nothing you do when you are immersed into the name of Jesus, name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you are immersed into that, when you are raised to walk in newness of life, all of the good that happens there is because Jesus did it for you. And I have had kids at church camp come up to me, grown-ups come up to me and say, I want to get baptized again. You'd say, why? And they say this: I don't think I knew enough when I was baptized when I was young. I didn't know enough. Oh, that's so sad that we've taught you needed to know enough. It's so sad that we didn't teach you that just Jesus was enough. That just the Savior on the cross is enough. That just the empty tomb is enough. That just the occupied throne is enough. That when you give your life to Jesus, you can give your life to Jesus in beautiful ignorance. And not have to know the next thing and the next thing and the next thing that you are going to learn eventually. I was baptized when I was 12. Everyone says that, but it's just because they can't remember the exact age. And you just always say you were 12 when you can't remember the age. It was 11 or 12. And I feel like that was an age, I guess. Not a particularly good one. I don't know. But I didn't know anything back then. Did you when you were 12? How good were you at theology when you were 12? Were you pretty good? I wasn't. I wasn't good. And I wasn't good because I didn't have the capacity to know things. I didn't know about the mission of God. I didn't know about the kingdom of God. I actually just kind of was scared of not being in heaven. Just kind of terrified. I'll be straight with you. I didn't think heaven was super appealing either. It was just the better of two options. Did anyone else feel that at 12? Where you think, I'm kind of just scared here. But then you learn. about Jesus. You learn about his presence. You learn what he did for you. You learn about who he was. If you're lucky. But sometimes what we teach people is you learn about when we meet, and you learn about what we believe. You learn about what our doctrine is. You learn about why we can't do this or that. You learn about, you have the learning. Jim Woodruff once told me, and he's an author, but I don't remember where he wrote it, but he was sitting in front of me when he said this. He said, "Benjamin, if you preach the church, you'll build a denomination. And if you preach Jesus, you'll build a church." And we have been making disciples by baptizing them sometimes and then teaching them about us. And we can point to Jesus and say, let's get caught up with him first. And don't you think you'll be spending your whole life working on loving your neighbor? Don't you think you'll be spending your whole life working on forgiving those who harm you like you want to be forgiven? Does anyone feel done with those two? Teaching people to obey what Jesus has commanded us is a long, slow process. Now, here's something that is a quick process. Ready? Don't play a piano. Look at all of you. You're not doing it. You're so good at that. That's easy. Like, some of the small little doctrine that we build and we put together is easy. It's complicated to think about and complicated to explain, and we can jump from passage to passage and say, oh, look at this and this and this, and if we finally get here and say, oh, well, all of that means this. And it turns out all of that means what I already thought. But when you immerse yourself, and when you immerse others into the way of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as a disciple, made a disciple, you immersed yourself into those names. When you do that, you are called to the next step that is love. And love and peace and forgiveness and joy are not the habits of hippies. They are the way of the disciples. They're not these floaty, easy ideas where, oh, that's just the way where people are. That's the easy way out. Love is the hardest thing one can do. Jesus demonstrated his love with nails through his wrists. Jesus demonstrated and enacted forgiveness on a cross. We are called to that sort of love, to that sort of forgiveness, to be immersed in the way and the ways of Jesus. So sometimes, yes, I think we should have regular practices. We can call them traditions if you want. Those are fine. There's nothing inherently wrong with those. But they are not worthy of teaching over and above the way of Jesus. Our Bible classes start at 9:15. 9 o'clock. Yeah, there's a couple that start at 9 o'clock, but then the rest, they stagger in. Our Bible classes start at 9. That's just sort of an organizational thing. Worship starts at 10. We have people standing up here. That's just kind of the way we do it now. We have particular ways of doing things, but we were not immersed into those. We should not have been taught those. We should teach the ways, teach them to obey everything I, Jesus, have commanded you. And that is a life's work. You wake up every morning and say, love the Lord your God with all that you have, and love my neighbor as myself. And then get after it. And anytime you feel this need to be better than the others around you by enacting some weird doctrine on them that you uphold and they don't, remember that that's not love. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus was patient with people. His disciples didn't get it until the very end. Jesus actually, it seems like there were some parts of his message that he gave up teaching them and just sent the Holy Spirit later. Like he, in first of Acts, he said, the disciples come to him and say, are you going to establish the kingdom now? He goes, go into Jerusalem and wait. Because you're just going to know when you know. They thought it was an earthly kingdom until the very end. They misunderstood it. So when we talk about like the way we've taken doctrine and made it gospel, Jesus understands that. Jesus isn't mad at you about that. God gets that. Gets that tendency. Jesus walked with his disciples and they just misunderstood things for a long time. Made the whole gospel revolve around Jerusalem. They were confused about it. And Jesus walked with them and loved them and was patient with them. So as we go and as we make disciples and as we are disciples, because sometimes the Great Commission feels like a calling for me to go do something, but it's actually a calling. It's Jesus telling his disciples what he wanted us to eventually be. Immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to obey what Jesus had commanded his disciples. So we turn the other cheek. We love our neighbor. And we're going to get better and better at that throughout our life. But if you are not there, if you've never started the journey, if you've decided, I'm just not where I need to be a follower of Jesus, then either you just misunderstand or probably we've failed you in a way to make you think that to begin following Jesus requires anything but Jesus. That when we are immersed into his name, into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one doing the work, the one hitting the requirements, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I had a sweet lady come up to me whenever I was just started preaching. And this, when you just start preaching, anybody that comes up is like, I want to get baptized. You're like, oh, one for the record books. And it was this girl of the age of 9. And even some of you grew up Church of Christ. Y'all had like, oh, that's too young. No, single digits. Can't get baptized single digits. If you grew, but I get it. Like, I like baptisms at 16, 17. When they know what they're going to do with the rest of their life, they kind of also are thinking about what they want to be with the rest of their life. I like that. But she wanted to give her life to Jesus, and I'm not standing in the way. So we announced that she's going to be baptized. She's going to go back to the back room And a lady came up while I was going to get my waders on. And she said, she is too young to get baptized. She doesn't even have any sins to forgive. And I said, and then I'm not proud of this, and I wouldn't say it again. But what I said was, and I think it still holds true, well, do you want us to take her outside and let her smoke a cigarette or two? And she said, well, no. And I said, well, what's the purpose of this? She said, to give her life to Jesus. I said, then let's do it. She doesn't have to, and she didn't. She didn't know anything. I talked to her about forgiveness of sins, and she asked me, what is sin? She didn't know anything. But she wanted Jesus. And I think the world wants Jesus. We want love and forgiveness. The world is longing to become disciples of Jesus, to be immersed into his name, to be immersed into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're longing to become disciples of Jesus. And a lot of times we think the world doesn't want church. But what that means is they just don't want to be disciples of us. But I think the world is longing for love and forgiveness, for grace and peace and hope. They're wanting that. Right now they're calling it unity, but it's grace and love and forgiveness and peace and hope. It's love of enemy. It's turning the other cheek. It's not assuming that people who we disagree with are evil. They're wanting to become disciples. So let's immerse them and immerse ourselves into the only one worth following. Let's pray.